So today it's my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker. Lisa Almond Baldwin has spent her most recent years in Kansas City. I asked her why she didn't say she was from there, and she said, because she wasn't. For 25 years, Lisa has lived the life I would have liked to have lived, which is traveling around and seeing cool places and writing about them. And then she had a thing happen, and I'm going to let her talk about that. But it resulted in her having a bigger awareness of how she could help others see their way through life as it happens. She's doing a workshop at the office this afternoon from 1 to 3. Susan's got tickets, and she may have as well. And a book that you can purchase as part of the workshop or separately. But her mission is, through written and spoken word, to show others how to live a life full of passion, authenticity, and purpose. And with that, I'm going to turn the stage over to Lisa.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Can everybody hear me?
Ooh.
All right, let's try that again. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning. Morning. I'm very honored to be with you here today, and thank you for Reverend Janice for inviting me. So last week was the first time that I came here. I have been a member of Unity for about 15 years. Unity Temple on the Plaza is where I went. I also used to work out at Unity Village. And then for the past 7 years, I've also been a member of Center for Spiritual Living in Kansas City. So once I started embarking upon this full-time journey, I looked to see where there are Unity churches and CSLs and other New Thought communities, and I landed on CSL Tucson. And so I have a friend who lives here who also was a friend of mine from Kansas City, Kimberly. And so it worked out perfect timing. I could come visit her, and Reverend Janice invited me to speak. So I'm really honored to be here with you today. So just a little bit about me. I've been a freelance and travel writer for the past 25 years. And just, you know, traveling around the world, writing stories for both my website and also for other print and online publications. And then I had a 15-year plan that once my two boys were off to college, I was going to travel full-time. So 3 years ago, the first one graduated, and now he's a junior at Vanderbilt University. And then, so at that time, I sold the house and started downsizing and sold off a lot of things and moved into a two-bedroom apartment in the same community so my younger son could finish high school. And then last May, he graduated. And so then it was time to start clearing out for this 15-year plan. So on August 24th, I dropped him off at Kansas State, where he's a freshman. And I've been on the road since, so for 3 months now. So it's quite the transition to look at a plan that you have years ago, and your mind goes like this: how's that going to happen? When am I going to be able to afford that? Where's the money going to come from? And then the years tick by, down, 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 and I look at a vision board that I did about 6 or 7 years ago, and I call it with spirit, I call it flabbergasted but not surprised at the same time, that almost everything on that vision board is coming to fruition. So it just reminds me that Lisa's not in charge of the how. Lisa's in charge of having the dream and the goal, which I believe are dreams and goals that God gave us, and that God is in charge of the how. So the title of my talk is Illuminating Our Stories. Now, we all have a story, that collection of experiences we've had in our lives. And some of them are positive, and some leave a little bit to be desired. But what we do often is we latch on to the challenging ones, making them the central narrative through which we filter future and current and future events. So I have two stories from my life that I'd like to share with you today. So this is me at about 6 months old. And as you can see, I had big brown eyes and slicked down jet black hair, and I was smiling all the time. And I just think that I probably thought it was just so wonderful just to be here. My mother used to tell me stories about taking me out in the stroller when I was a toddler and double strapping me in because she was afraid I was going to fall out because I was always jumping up and down and waving and trying to say hi to everybody. And I'm sure that at that time I thought that life, whatever it was simply wonderful. And when I look back at this photo, the photo's gone, but when I look back at that photo, I could see that there was this vibrant light oozing from every pore of my body. I was fed, and I was clothed, and I was bathed, and I was held, and everybody oohed and awed all over me. And life was just wonderful. But as I started growing up, things started to change. Suddenly, the messages I was getting from those around me weren't quite as rosy, and just being myself became a challenge. Suddenly, other people had a lot to say. Now, whether you're a boy or a girl, some of these things might sound familiar to you. You're not smart enough, or you're too smart for your own good. Your race or your sexual orientation is unacceptable. You're not black, Hispanic, gay, straight, whatever, enough. You're too tall or you're too short. You're too fat or you're too thin. You're too young or you're too old. You don't make enough money, or you make too much money. Your faith is wrong, or you need to hold certain beliefs. You should drive a different car. You really need to wear different clothes. You don't belong in this neighborhood. Or you've forgotten where you came from if you live in a certain manner. And this list goes on and on and on. And these supposed guidelines for living can be heavy burdens to bear. So here's another story for you. In the warm weather days, I like to ride my bike to the gym. And where I was living before, it was about 2 miles away. It was pretty flat. It was a great way to get exercise, and I could leave the car at home. And I always go the same way, just out of comfort, but I had been thinking for a while about changing it up a bit. So on Tuesday, July 18th, 2017, I left my house, went up to the first corner, and that's where I always turn right. And when I got up there, I decided, let's make today the day to go a different way. Let's go straight. So I was going downhill, not particularly fast, totally aware of my surroundings, and up ahead, I saw what looked like rocks and gravel strewn across the sidewalk. And I realized later that in my attempts to avoid the rocks and gravel, I overcorrected by squeezing both brakes, the bike screeched to a halt, the back wheel reared up, and all I heard myself say was, and just like in the movies, like when they want to show somebody having a flashback or perhaps an out-of-body experience, everything went white. And when the whiteness disappeared and life came back into focus, I found myself on the ground on all fours with most of my weight on my left arm. And due to the intense pain, it took about 10 seconds for me to realize I had probably broken my left arm. To this day, I don't remember anything that happened in between the white. The only evidence I had that I had obviously gone over the handlebars and rolled is that my bike and my backpack were up on the sidewalk in front of me. I had road rash all over my body, and when I looked at my helmet later, I could see marks where my head had obviously hit the ground. Fortunately, I was able to reach my backpack with my right arm, pull out my cell phone, and I called a friend of mine who lived about 2 blocks away to come and get me. So while I was laying on the ground in intense pain, waiting for her to come, the first thing after I hung up the phone that came to my mind was, Lisa, say your gratitude list. So I just started talking out loud, everything that I could think of. I'm on the sidewalk and not in the street. It's daytime and not nighttime. It's a sunny day and not raining. I'm only 2 miles from the hospital. I have health insurance. My friend who's coming to get me will know exactly what to do. And the biggest thing on my gratitude list was God is here. A man jogging by, my friend that I had called, and some people that were driving down the street and saw me on the ground, all stopped right around the same time and called 911. So after the police came and the ambulance came, and they put me on a stretcher to take me to the hospital. And while I was in the ambulance, I said to the very cute, I might add, EMTs, I hadn't hit my head that hard that I missed that. I asked them if they would say my gratitude list with me. And one of them said, well, what's a gratitude list? And I said, it's all the things I have to be thankful for, even while this is happening to me right now. So they said, sure. And they jumped right in, repeated my list with me. So when I got to the hospital, to the emergency room, I got the distressing news that I had actually broken my left elbow. Yes, I have 2 boys. I figured they're going to break something. I have never broken a bone in my life. I'm the one that broke something, and a good one at that. So I will spare you the gory details of what fortunately was going on out here that I couldn't see very well. But I had to have surgery, and right away. So as you might imagine, once I got home, all drugged up, my arm wrapped from my wrist all the way to my shoulder, that gratitude list was nowhere to be found. And to top it all off, many of the abilities that I had, that I now realize I took for granted, had been suddenly taken away, even if only temporarily. Driving, cooking, opening the toothpaste, brushing my hair, changing my clothes, tying my shoes, all of that was a challenge. Being grateful for what I could do had got completely lost in the shuffle. In the early days of my recovery, what I realized that I was really suffering from was an overwhelming feeling of worthlessness. And what I was telling myself about those breaks in my arm was, see, you can't do anything right. Why did you have to go a different way to the gym? The other way was working just fine. You always make bad decisions. These problems you're having are all your fault. You're no good to anybody like this. Here again, I was tying my self-worth to those old childhood stories, what other people had to say about me. But like I said earlier, we all have a story, that collection of experiences in our lives. But in tethering ourselves to the challenging ones, we allow our ego, that inner critic, to sit on our shoulder and start yapping and repeat them to us over and over and over. In the book Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tipping, he talks about something that he calls a forgiveness centrifuge. And a good way to explain it is like maybe a juicer or a plasma machine, where you put something in, spin it around, and separate the parts. And the forgiveness centrifuge, he says, we can use to decipher the facts of what happened in our lives from our interpretation of the facts. So for example, your fact may have been that as a child, your father left the family. Your interpretation of him leaving was that it was because of you. Because you were bad or wrong, or you should have done something or not done something. And so you made up this abandonment story that it was all about you. Your fact could have been that you had, let's say, a career goal, but other people said it was beneath you, or that boys or girls can't or shouldn't do or be that. Your interpretation of that was that you have stupid ideas, or you're not smart enough to come up with a great career, so you need to ask other people what it is you should be doing. Or maybe even, who am I to have a dream? And those false beliefs that we tell ourselves often go with sometimes what by all accounts might be a positive situation. So I have a friend who said growing up she got nothing but positive input. She was told how smart she was, how resourceful she was, she played well with others, she ate her vegetables, she was just a nice kid. She said nothing but positive input is what she got. Those were her facts. Her interpretation of the facts was that with all of those accolades, she had no room for error. If she messed up, people would see that she really didn't have it all together and that she was a failure. But once we can clearly see the differences between the facts of what happened in our lives and our interpretation, we can make conscious choices about whether or not those stories are serving us any longer. Now, the willingness to give up our old stories is not about spiritual bypassing or looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, rather knowing that we have the power to reframe our old stories. So I have 5 steps for you today to do just that, to decipher which are false beliefs and which ones we can reframe to chart a new conscious path for the future. So here we go. Step number 1. Stop and take a deep breath. Stop and take a deep breath. Let's all do that now. When you do that, your chest opens up a little bit, your shoulders go back a little. It leaves at least a little bit of room for maybe something else to come in other than the fear. Step number 2, thank the old story for getting your attention. Thank the old story for getting your attention. Whatever it is, it's trying to tell you something. Step number 3, examine the old story. Examine the old story. Is that story you're telling yourself absolutely true? How is it true? Why is it true? Do the people who love and support you the most believe that story too? If you're having trouble answering those questions, more than likely it's your ego, that inner critic, that's doing the talking. Step number 4. Reframe the old story. Reframe the old story. You can ask yourself things like, what is the opposite of this old fear story? Or could there be any other interpretation for this story? Or how do I want to feel without the burden of this old story? And step number 5. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. You're changing negative patterns of thought that have been deeply rooted in your subconscious mind, sometimes for years, and it takes time. Beating yourself up for still having that old story is like going to the gym one time and expecting your body to look exactly the way you want it to. But it doesn't work that way. We're just putting one story in that forgiveness centrifuge at a time, spinning it up, and separating the facts from what happened in our lives, from our interpretation of the facts. So this is my new arm. I call it my new bionic arm. And you can see where they put all the pins in to stabilize the bone, and then the plate holding it all together. So what I tell myself now about those cracks in my arm, those old childhood stories, is this. I am capable and smart. I am adventurous and like to try new things. My vulnerabilities are one of my strengths. People love me for who I am, not what I can do. I am grateful for the blessings and lessons in that old story. And that plate holding it all together, I say, I am worthy and I love myself just the way I am. And to that cute little girl, my older, wiser self says, you were born a perfect expression of God. You always have been, and you always will be. Those other things were your old stories, but it's time to give them up. You are worthy just the way you are. So, let's say the affirmation that we had earlier today. I'll say it once, and then you can repeat it with me. I have the power to reframe my old stories and chart a new conscious path for the future. Let's say that together. I have the power to reframe my old stories and chart a new conscious path for the future. Thank you, and namaste. So let's take a moment to go into prayer and just close your eyes, place your feet straight on the floor, sit up straight in your chair, allow the chair and the floor to support you, and just take a deep breath in, hold it at the top, and let it out. And take another deep breath. Hold it and let it out. And one more deep breath. Hold it for a moment and let it out. We know that we were all divinely guided to be here this morning. And we leave behind all the busyness of the day, what it took to get here, what we might be doing later today, later this week, and just be in the present moment. The present moment is all we have right now. The past is already gone. The future is not yet here. But we are here right now in this perfect present moment. And God is here with us. God is working in, through, and as us in every moment of every day, in both the good times and the challenging times. And as such, we are a link in a chain of consciousness that goes around the world forever and ever. So we just breathe into that. We're grateful for that. We recognize the light and the love that we are and that we always have been. It will never change, no matter how much we weigh, how much money we have, what we drive, what we wear, where we go, our race, our sexual orientation, our gender, our religious beliefs, our political beliefs. None of that will change the perfect expressions of God, Spirit, presence, whatever you call your guiding light, that will never change. We just need to believe in ourselves because we are far more than we know. And we're so grateful for this time to come together in spiritual community, to share in the gifts and the lessons of our prior experiences, knowing that despite how challenging some of them may have been, they made us who we are today. We could not be who we are in this present moment without those situations and people and events and circumstances that took place. We have the power to decide what they mean to us, what lessons we learned, what blessings there were in there, and how we want to use them to to chart a new conscious path for the future. So we thank Spirit again for this time of sacred community, and together we say, and so it is.
Let me love in a holy, holy way. Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way. Let me love in a holy, holy way. Oh, let me know that love is all around me.
Let me know that love is all around me.
Oh, let my steps reveal a path of peace.
Let my steps reveal a path of peace.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way. Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way. Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way. Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way. Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Love.